Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a day-to-day thing. But we do bring in Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. Hey, Mike, good morning. How are you today?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. And glad to hear your voice. And I thought you had a good story. Now, I know some of it was from, I guess, a story written from down in, I guess, from South Georgia, especially Southwest Georgia. And Kirby, you know, we don't get to hear a whole lot from Kirby, especially this time of year, but he did a speaking engagement in his hometown, and he had some interesting stuff to say. So what were your thoughts on all of that from down in Bainbridge?
Yeah, Powell Cobb writes for the Bainbridge newspaper, and he wrote the story. And Kirby did a Q&A there at Bainbridge High School. He was at their banquet. Where you went to high school, and you know, he had actually asked to speak to them because they, you know, did really well in the state tournament. So he was back in his hometown talking, and he did a Q&A with them, and they asked him, you know, I guess how long or if he ever planned to leave Georgia, and he made it pretty clear he's got no plans to leave, like ever. Like, why would you ever leave Georgia? And you know, I think that's a really popular sentiment. You know, and I know some people would say, well, that's a no-brainer, but the reality of it is that's leverage for Kirby. That's Kirby punting leverage. I mean, part of the reason coaches get money and raises is so that they don't go somewhere else. Well, with Kirby saying this, and I don't think it'll come to this because, you know, I think Georgia loves Kirby Smart, and I think they recognize that Kirby is more than just a football coach. Kirby is a visionary. I mean, Kirby, you know, one of the great things that's happening at Georgia right now, and I hope all the Georgia fans wrap their arms around, is the relationship between Kirby Smart and Greg McGarrity. Some athletic directors can't get out of their own way, don't work well with their coaches, but Greg works so well with Kirby and has so much respect for Kirby, and Kirby, conversely, has respect and works with Greg. All this scheduling that you're seeing, all this talk about coaching staff raises, facilities and what facilities are needed. These are conversations that Greg McGarrity and Kirby Smart are having, and Greg is working to, you know, help fulfill all these visions that Kirby has. And sometimes, I don't know this, but, you know, everyone has, I'm not sure Greg would necessarily agree with all this. I think the scheduling is very aggressive, and I'm not speaking for Greg, but I don't know. He may be all behind all of it. But the fact of the matter is, this is Kirby Smart's visions that we're seeing right now. And you've got an AD in Greg McGarrity that knows how to get it done and is standing behind his head coach. And this is a best-case scenario, guys. I've seen this happen a few times before. When Tennessee was really great with Fulmer, he got along really good with his AD, Doug Dickey. I saw when Michigan State had their run of three straight top-10 football season, D'Antonio and the AD and the president were all working together. And Georgia is in sync like that right now. And that is not something to be taken for granted because it just doesn't happen that often.
Mike, I'll use you as an example, somebody that may not be very keen on Athens. Now, you just moved here in the last couple of years, and you admit that you love this place. You think you call it the Epcot of college campuses. So the reason I say that is from an outsider looking in, someone that's unfamiliar with Athens, unfamiliar with the Georgia program, and you start telling them, hey, I think Kirby Smart's here for, you know, decades possibly, and they'll use the word, yeah, but, you know, and they always have some reason why, you know, it never happens that way. But I'll say this from somebody that has been around Athens my whole life. To your point, this does feel like a very, very much a match made in heaven right now with Kirby and UGA.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that you got to guard against, and what I've seen happen over and over and over, is when a program has a lot of great success, the expectations go so high that when you have that 8 or 9 win season, or maybe even a couple of seasons where the recruiting cycle is a little off, another team has a special magical player that you can't get over, another team builds a dynasty. I mean, let's face it, Steve Spurrier had it going on at Florida in the 90s. I mean, they were a dominant program, kind of like Alabama does now. And what happens is programs get frustrated and say, you know, we need somebody to take us to the next level. And you start taking, you know, 8, 9, 10-win seasons for granted, especially when you're doing it the right way and you're not having an issue. Don't take that for granted. Like I said, last season was 11-3, and I know a lot of people are disappointed, but don't be. Understand what happened with that playoff committee. Understand that the dice were loaded. You had the Oklahoma AD in there, the Florida AD, and the Georgia Tech AD. Georgia was not going to get the benefit of the doubt for that fourth playoff spot. I don't care if they were three priests from those schools. Georgia was not going to get the benefit of the doubt with Florida, Georgia Tech, and Oklahoma sitting in that room, okay? That was a playoff team we saw last year. They had the same resume that Alabama did in 2017 at the end of the regular season. The difference was Georgia had to play in an SEC title game against the number one ranked team that had been more dominant than any team in SEC regular season history. That was the difference, all right? So I don't want to get too far into that, guys, and get too far off track, but my point is this. That Georgia football team last year had a lot of growing to do from the start of the season, and they did a hell of a job. They were playing as good as anybody in November. And if DeAndre Walker doesn't go down with that freak injury, they beat Alabama, and they'd have gone back to the playoff. Now, I'm not saying that they or anybody else would have beat Trevor Lawrence that night out there in Santa Clara. That was as good a performance as I've ever seen in the 11th college football playoff championship games I've been to. But I am saying that Georgia did a great job last year, and I hope everybody recognizes that. And sometimes a great job is 11-3 when the ball doesn't bounce right. And sometimes a great job is 12-2, you know. But there's only so much a team can control. And I thought that team did the best that they possibly could. And yes, there was a letdown in the Sugar Bowl, but I do think that team achieved a lot. And I hope the Georgia fans recognize that.
Mike, I saw you've got a story that just came across on Dog Nation about Georgia football, the boogeyman for SEC East opponents. I mean, is Georgia living rent-free in everybody's head now in the SEC East?
Well, you know, so many times, again, I'll reflect back again, so many times we get caught up in the whatever program we follow or we cover, we get caught up in what they don't do. You know, can Kirby beat Nick Saban? I mean, come on. Did you watch the last two games? They had them dead beat. It was freaky stuff that happened, okay? Of course they can beat out. But you get caught up in what they didn't do, right? And you forget, nobody in the SEC East has played Georgia within single digits since 2016. They're kicking everybody's ass. Nobody can stay with them. And Kentucky among them, and now they've lost Kentucky has lost 9 straight against Georgia. So you think it is, you know, when I laugh when Feinbaum asked me if Alabama's in Georgia's head. Of course not. But they now, is Georgia in Kentucky's head? They stomped Kentucky. I mean, that game last year was supposed to be the greatest football game in Kentucky history. It was a great environment. Kroger Field was sold out, the tailgating. Heck, Kentucky took out an ad in Times Square that week, if you remember. And Benny Snell was talking about how their 3 stars were going to be. So, yeah, Georgia causes a lot of problems for a lot of teams, believe me. And, you know, we all look at this one little Alabama thing here and say, oh, you know, but what about everybody else? Yeah, nobody else in the league is close to Georgia.
Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Speaking of Florida, obviously some headlines keep coming out about Dan Mullen. Forgive me, I'm drawing a blank here.
Dan Mullet.
Dan Mullet, as Vince Dooley would say, and Georgia. but here's the thing I don't understand is why Florida fans – And listen, I'm involved in social media as much as the next guy. You see him all over the place chirping about what a great job Dan Mullen did last year. We were talking about it earlier today. I look back, and they snapped the longest SEC winning streak. Or they lost against Kentucky. They got blown out in Jacksonville, blown out at home against Missouri. But for some reason, fans feel like that was the greatest coaching job in the history of first-year coaches, if you would, for a program. What is it about Florida that has them so so excited down there, which I'm just not seeing for some reason?
Yeah, I think it's because there was a big fear, you know, with what happened with McElwain that last year. I mean, they really hit the depths hard. You know, they really fell hard in the season before. And I think, you know, the fact that Florida finished last season ranked in the top 10, believe it or not, some people had them ranked ahead of Georgia. I just I don't get it. I guess it says something. You know, some people are very, very slow to change, right? You know, their mind is still like in the 90s or something. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to remind them, you know, Tim Tebow's not there anymore or something. But the fact that Florida was back in the top 10, they had a really nice bowl win. Bowl wins, you know, it's interesting. Bowls are kind of their own animal, and it kind of depends on where a team is at and what they're playing for. I mean, the Texas-Georgia game is such a great example. I mean, here was Texas playing outside the state of Texas in a bowl game for the first time in 8 years. I mean, they had not played in a bowl game outside their own state in 8 years, guys. Playing for 10 wins, right? Texas really playing for something, excited to be at the Sugar Bowl against a Georgia team that felt like they were robbed, especially after watching Alabama take a 28-0 lead over Oklahoma in 17 minutes. It's ridiculous. So, of course, the Georgia players were disappointed, and Texas was thrilled to be there. And they should, and those things matter. Those things matter. And so bowl games can be a bit deceptive. They're the hardest to pick, as we all know. Crazy things happen that we can't explain in bowl games. I mean, some of the blowouts we've seen, teams win, teams lose. And Florida feels good about their bowl win. And so there's promise there. And Dan Mullen is saying a lot of really positive things and kind of trying to get everybody excited. And the Gators, they want to get back on board. We all know that. Florida fans are among the most obnoxious in the country, hands down, not even close. And it's just part of the persona and the swag of being a Florida Gator. I caught up with one of my old buddies in Miami. He's a Florida fan, and we were talking. And I was, you know, he was asking me how I liked the Georgia beat. I said, I think Kirby's really fascinating. I said, he's a real visionary. He goes, man, as a Gator man, that guy is my worst nightmare. And yes, he is, right? So Florida's hoping that Mullen can be the answer for Kirby Smart. And sometimes, and we see it on social media, and it's just human nature, if we say things enough times, we think that it'll actually happen, right? That's why every fan base believes their team. You know, Ole Miss fans may be the most disillusioned in the world. Every year they think they're going to compete for the West somehow, right? But if they say it enough and they get in their chat rooms and convince each other, you know, and that's kind of what's happening with Florida, only they live it out loud. They're putting their neck on it because they haven't gotten enough beatdowns over. It'll change in time. After Kirby beats Mullen three or four more times in a row, I don't think you'll have that issue.
Got me fired up.
Yeah, I was going to say. Man. You had a good story about Lawrence Cager, who will be a Bulldog this fall. What do you think will be his contribution in 2019?
You know, I think he's a red zone guy. I mean, the thing about Lawrence that's fascinating that I did not know, this kid is really humble. I mean, listen, I spent, you know, probably two hours in his apartment talking to him, and then we went on campus, and he showed me around the Miami campus, which was really cool, at my request. I said, Lawrence, you got to show me this campus. And then we sat down and did some interviews on video. He didn't tell me the whole time. He went to nationals for the high jump. This is a 6'5 guy who high jumped 6'11. He's got a 40-inch vertical, guys. This is a 6'5 guy with a 40-inch vertical. I mean, good luck covering him, okay? Now, he's had some inconsistent quarterback play, and admittedly, Lawrence has not caught the ball with the consistency that he would like. But the Miami offense has had a revolving door at quarterback. Now, and I think Jake is going to change that for Lawrence. I mean, the Senior Bowl has Cager on their radar. And this is when I really reached out and said, man, we need to go down there and talk to this guy. Jim Nagy, who's a scout for the Senior Bowl, or excuse me, he's the executive director of the Senior Bowl. He just took it over last year. Used to be the SEC regional scout for the Seattle Seahawks and many other teams. He's got like three Super Bowl rings from his career as an NFL scout. He put out a tweet about four Georgia players that are on Senior Bowl radar. One of them was Lawrence Cager, and he's not even here yet. And I was like, wow. You know, the fact that the Senior Bowl is on him. Rodrigo Blankenship is another one. Let me see. J.R. Reed was another one. And Brian Herrien was the fourth. I sent Jim a message, and I said, hey, you know, you may want to add, you know, Tay Crowder and Charlie Werner to that list. But he'll decide for himself. He'll come through here and look. But those were four guys that he had on the radar, and Cager was one of them. So I think Cager's an obvious red zone target. He's a senior. He's hungry. You know, he's now 3 years removed from an ACL that he suffered before his what would have been his sophomore year So he's completely back. That knee bothered him. He obviously redshirted 1 year with that knee injury. And then when he came back, he admitted it still bothered him for a year. He still wasn't right mentally. And then last year you had the quarterback situation at Miami that slowed him down. So this is a guy who recognizes that his NFL career is in the balance. And he's coming up here to win a job. And he's going to be rooming with J.J. Holloman, if that tells you anything.
Mike, you mentioned Jake Fromm a couple minutes ago about that. The thing about Jake Fromm that I think we forget when we talk this offseason about Georgia's strengths, we sort of shrug off Jake Fromm because we feel like that's kind of like talking about the obvious, that we don't need to mention Jake Fromm. But the truth is, for Georgia, this will be the first time since 2013 that Georgia will have an upperclassman quarterback with multiple years' experience in the system. And that has to bode well for a team having that level of quarterback. Now, he was still raw, not raw. He has plenty of experience, but he was still very much a student of the system last year, where that's not going to be an issue this year. How much does that play into just sort of the outlook of a program like Georgia with that kind of quarterback?
Yeah, it plays into a lot. And really, the second year, I think, is the hardest for a quarterback. And the reason why is because when a quarterback is a freshman, most coordinators really keep it simple. They don't want to complicate it. So they purposely keep things simple. The playbook is really shrunk down. We saw that Jake's freshman year. Georgia had, Chubb and Michelle in the backfield. So they were really able to do that. And a great offensive line, as they have right now. But really a special defense, frankly. That defense was unbelievable. Georgia was the best team in college football in 2017. So they keep it really simple for the freshman, right? The sophomore year is when they really try to expand the playbook. And we could see that with Jake in the first half of last year. If you'll remember, Jake and Georgia, not many teams are real good on third and long, but Georgia was bad on third and long. On third and seven or longer, Jake was like at 1.2 of 14 with four sacks and two interceptions. It was just horrible. And it really peaked at that LSU game. The bye week, something clicked for Jake in the offense. Something happened there. There was an adjustment made. I don't know what it was. But during that bye week, Georgia got real healthy across the board. Kirby and his coaches did an unbelievable job because that was really Point Break. You guys remember when they lost to LSU, it was like the whole season could have gone on the toilet. And it kind of looked like it would, right? You still had Auburn and Florida and Kentucky was playing well. And all of a sudden now you're thinking, oh, my God, this Georgia team could lose four games. Kirby and his staff did an unbelievable job, and so did Jake. Because when Georgia hit the field after that bye week, like I said, they were the best team in college football in the month of November, in my opinion. In the month of November, they were playing better than anybody. Because these things do ebb and flow. I like people don't realize that, but different teams are playing the best at different times. Georgia was on fire, and things clicked. I think Jake will carry that into his junior year, especially now with Coley. And I feel like Kirby trusts Coley and Jake to do a little bit more throwing the ball around, especially when they're going to be throwing it to the backs, tight ends, high percentage passes. And you trust guys like Holloman and speedsters like Demetrius Robertson and Tyler Sims to get open deep. So I think Kirby's got a little more faith in the pass game now that Jake is experienced. And you got a guy like JJ out there who's proven what he can do in the clutch. So I think you're going to see a big, big year out of the Georgia offense, a record-setting year, in fact. And then you just need that defensive line to come around so they can get off the field in those run situations. My gosh, that was such a killer last year.
Mike, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. We will not be in next week since it's Memorial Day, so we will catch you in a couple of weeks.
Well, I look forward to it, guys. Everybody have a great week.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
You got it.
Mike Griffith from the AJC's DogNation.com. We just gave.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.